To answer is human. To question is divine. Welcome to the world of the Hidden Gateway, an exhilarating podcast exploring the concepts humans have been struggling with since the dawn of existence, such as, who are we? Is there such a thing as good and evil, or are they arbitrary constructs? Does the paranormal exist? How can we evolve to a higher state? Can our mind influence what we term as reality? Providing a transcendental approach combined with hard-nosed humanistic analysis, we invite you on a journey to question your worldview in this theater of life. Join our host, Justin Williams, as he explores the outer realms of faith, the supernatural, human potential, and even our concepts of the universal creator with a fascinating array of guests. This is the unseen world, magical, mysterious, and mystical, where your only limitation is your imagination. This is the Hidden Gateway.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you back to yet another episode of the Hidden Gateway podcast. As always, I'm your host, Justin Williams, and today we welcome Mr. Jeff Weitzman to the show. Jeff is an award-winning filmmaker, musician, speaker, and writer. He has made 6 documentary films in the last 6 years, including Cancer Be Killed. His latest film, Signpost on the Road to Ascension, explores the transformation happening at the deeper level as a result of the government overreach. Jeff has separated from the U.S. government corporation and is diving into regenerative farming and energy healing. Jeff, welcome to the Hidden Gateway podcast. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Justin. Good to be here.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for being here, man. I contacted you, a couple weeks ago now, and I've really been looking forward to speaking with you. And so this is a treat for me as well as my audience, I'm sure. So, you know, the way I like to start it off, Jeff, I'd like to ask guests, you know, a little bit about their background, right? And you've done so much. You have so many phenomenal things in the mix. You've done some amazing things, as I mentioned there in the intro. You know, give us a little background. And, you know, if there was a pivotal point in your life that you said, hey, I'm going to do things a little different. I'm going to follow the path that I'm on.
Yeah, I think it happened for me pretty early. It was when I was 15 years old. And my parents had put me in school a year early. And so I was, as a freshman in high school, I was 80 pounds and 4'10". And I don't know how high school was for you, but it was not cool to be 4'10" and 80 pounds. And I mean, it was so bad, girls would run from me if they thought I was coming towards them to ask them for a dance. So my parents gave me the option to go to Germany for a year as a foreign exchange student and then come back to the States and get into the class that I was supposed to be in. Okay. So then I would be 16 with all the other 16-year-olds instead of 13 with all the 14-year-olds. So I did that. But unbeknownst to me, when I went to Germany, I learned about a whole new world. I learned that everything that we learned in America wasn't necessarily the way it was in the rest of the world. Oh, and wow. It was a huge eye-opener into the fact that, you know, maybe everything we're told is really just to benefit the people that are telling it to us rather than, you know, for our own good. Because I know they're doing something different over there and it's working for them. And you know, they think we're crazy and we think they're crazy. And neither party is crazy. So anyway, that got me started in that direction. And, you know, after I got out of college, I messed around a little bit. And then I finally got serious and got into the acting business because I was good at it. And I came to Hollywood and I had a window cleaning business to pay the rent so I could do all the creative stuff on the side. And the window cleaning was great. It taught me a work ethic. It taught me how to be of service. And I really needed to get to Hollywood and I needed to see what was going on the inside, you know, just like Dorothy getting to see the Wizard of Oz. I needed to pull the curtain back and I needed to see, okay, who's really pulling the strings and what's really going on. And that was my introduction into the real world, you know, that it was not at all what they taught us in school. that there's a whole different thing going on in the real world than there is in the schools and what they're teaching us. And so, you know, thank God I got to go through 10 years of being in the acting business until I realized this is not a useful thing for me to do anymore. And then got in the music business and got into songwriting and had a band and toured. And then that finally, you know, reached its end, what we could do. And then I finally did some writing. And all the time I had this window cleaning business, and that was, you know, really great. And then the thing that really changed my life happened when I was in my 50s and my wife got cancer. Mm. And that was the kind of the moment that changed our life. But that's when I started becoming a filmmaker, actually. Okay. And so the, you know, the beauty of my story is that I was given the benefit of learning so much about the way the real world works, which then afforded me to now make documentary films that actually had some meat behind them, right? Because I wasn't just giving people a visual. I was giving people, hey, guys, this is the inside scoop, and this is going to save your life.
Wow, that is amazing. What an amazing life. And as you tell your story, I'm thinking, wow, man, such a creative guy, right? We're talking writing, we're talking music, you know, we're talking filmmaking. Just, man, you know, I can not hard to tell where your passion is. So that's very cool. But, you know, Jeff, another thing caught my attention is when you said when you were in Germany and you learned about history and different things, and you said, wow, the story is different from what you were told in the States. And it really resonates with me. It hits home. And my audience has heard me say this a million times. I've been through this spiritual awakening journey, if you will. I guess all my life, but it really started when I lived in San Diego, right? So I was in San Diego from 2012 to 2018. And I remember one day I came home from work, just has a lot of things going on in my life, personally, professionally, et cetera. And I went upstairs, sat down on my bed, and I asked the good Lord, the Father of Truth. And I heard audible, just as you hear my voice now, I heard a voice say, nothing is as it seems. So when you said that, about what you learned in Germany, of course, the light bulb went off in my head. And so for me, I've been on this personal journey ever since just discovering truth, you know, and that's a big thing or a big reason why I started this podcast, right? The Hidden Gateway, because nothing is as it seems. And, you know, a person like yourself and me included, you know, I really believe we look for those truths. Truths in life, you know, truths about self, the truth about in the world that we live in, right? So, I mean, hats off to you, man, for what
you've done. Well, Justin, what's crazy too is you and I have similar paths of asking God for the truth. Wow. and God revealing it.
Yes.
If we were willing to hear it, which a lot of people aren't.
Right.
And what's a little bit scary about, I feel like, the path you and I are on is we may get some truth, some indications that are different from what's being told to us out there from people we even love or respect.
Yes.
And then, you know, then it becomes a conflict, right? Because how do I live the truth that's inside me while at the same time, you know, being told by somebody else that I'm either wrong for that belief or that I'm hurting them maybe or whatever. And so, I resonate with your challenge.
So that's okay. That brings up a good question to me. So exactly what you said, what has that been like for you? How have you worked through that process of when the people that you trust, the people that you love, they say exactly that? Well, your beliefs, I don't believe, and your beliefs hurt me, and how could you, and different things like that. And for me, I'll just, you know, go to something as recent as COVID, right? And then when we talk about vaccines, you know, me and my family, my household, we're not a vaccinated family with the COVID vaccine. We just don't do that. We don't believe in it. Of course, the path I'm on, there's no way in the world that, you know, I would inject or allow my family to be injected with that poison, right? Or maybe some other stuff. We can get in that conversation, you know. But, you know, I had a lot of family, a lot of friends, you know, that, didn't agree with me. And my mother lives with me too, right? She'll be 83 years old this year. And so I have brothers and sisters. And they didn't like the fact that I didn't allow my mom to get vaccinated, right? And so those are some things I had to deal with and work through. What was that process like for you when dealing with people?
I mean, it's been a constant process. And my family is the same way. They think differently than me. Mm-hmm. And I think where it really came to a head was at one point where my sister said that in order for me to come in my mother's house, I needed to wear a mask. And I said, I'm absolutely not going to wear a mask. And you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And the choice she made, my sister made, was just to stay about 30 feet away from me and have these conversations with me where she would talk, you know, from way across the room. And it almost felt like we should have a telephone, you know, to talk to each other. But we worked it out. And I find that with family, I can work it out. There's nothing so crazy that I can't love them into some sort of compromise. Now, in the real world, like when it comes to a lot of people in business or in group settings, that's different. And there's a lot of situations I just have to leave and I have to create something new.
Yes.
And my whole process spiritually in the last 4 years have been this process of leaving and building something new. Mm-hmm. And I think that's hard for a lot of people to do. But for me, I was living in Carlsbad and my dog had a limp. And Carlsbad is like the 5G center of San Diego. They have so many 5G little cones. Once you know what they look like, you see them everywhere. Uh-huh. And you're like, oh my God, this is Radiation Central, right? And so my dog had a limp and he's only 10 years old. And I thought, this is not right. And so I looked for farmland. I found a farm, a 5-acre farm, about 45 minutes inland from Carlsbad. And as soon as we got out here, within a week, that limp, you know, stopped.
Wow.
And he's running around. He's happy. And it's gone along with this bigger picture in my life of I just think the spiritual journey is all about leaving and building something new. And you can look at it in the Bible, right? You can look at it with the Israelites. You can look at it with Jesus and his followers. It's just constantly, it seems like God and he set up the universe in such a way that it's like, hey, you're going to be tempted with all this stuff, right? You're going to be given this matrix, if you will, of things that are not here to serve you. They are to serve whatever, the occult, the groupthink, whatever. That it's really not in your benefit. And the only way to safety is to leave it. And that takes faith, right? You have to have faith to be able to leave.
Yes.
And the beauty in my story is that God keeps rewarding me. And I keep getting the blessings from it. And so it's like, well, why would I do anything else? Right. So I'm just going to keep building. Like I say, I got this 5-acre farm. We're trying to create heaven on earth on this farm and trying to work with other people who are trying to do the same. And it just feels like a great opportunity at this point in, you know, 2024, we have some opportunities that I don't think humanity's ever had before. So I'm excited about that.
Ooh, we definitely got to get into that a little later, man. But man, I'm literally sitting here with my eyes starting to water, man, when you talk about, you know, leaving, you know, and having the faith, the courage to leave, right? And then you went on to say how you have been blessed because of that. And then you said, why would I do anything else? And that's another thing, Jeff, that hits home. You know, my wife and I, we stepped out on faith when we left Detroit area in 2012 to San Diego. And, you know, we realized we had to get out of an environment that we were in with certain family members and just the environment, the type of energy that lays or is alive, I should say, in that metropolitan Detroit area. And then we did it again coming here to the Phoenix area, man. So, wow, man, you're a powerful man. I feel your energy coming through, brother. You know, that's good stuff.
You know, a lot of this power, Justin, comes from incredible pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to talk about the story of my wife. First of all, healing from cancer, and then eventually being taken over by cancer and passing.
Yes.
That was really the huge transition for me. So in 2015, she was diagnosed with bladder cancer. And the doctor said that the cancer had invaded her muscle wall. And so she was going to have her bladder removed, her vagina cut in half, chemo and radiation, and there was only a 50% chance of survival. And instead, we went to Germany. They had German cancer clinics over there where they treated people naturally. And we did focused heat, IV nutrients, and ozone. And in 30 days, her cancer was completely gone.
Wow.
Couldn't detect it. And we came back and I asked the urologist, you know, I told him what happened. And he said, oh, well, you know, you got lucky. I'm glad that worked out for you. And I said, how is it that you're taking bladders out of bodies without actually looking at the research of people that are healing from it? And he said, I stand behind our peer-reviewed, double-blind clinical trial system. It's the best in the world, and we know it's best. And so that, for me, was a real one of those moments where we left. We left what they were telling us, you know, and we created something new, and we got the blessings from it. Mm-hmm. And the cancer was gone. And she would, you know, have two years. She came back, changed her diet, 2 years cancer-free. And then it started coming back a little bit at a time, nothing major. And then after 5 years, it came roaring back, took over her whole body. And in 3 months, she passed away. And what we learned from that experience was holistic cancer treatment works.
Right.
But unless a person deals with the emotions that are underneath the cancer, no amount of holistic treatment is ever going to be the end all be all. The cancer is always going to come back and take control of that person. And so the question becomes then, well, what is cancer? What are they not telling us in the hospital? Because what they tell us is, oh, these are rogue cells that are growing out of control. Mm-hmm. And we need to kill them with something like chemotherapy.
Right.
What I've come to find out, and I feel like my wife is still with me, we're still on the same journey, mm-hmm. you know, of getting to the truth. And what we found out was that what cancer actually is, it's an internal conflict. It's a conflict where something happened in that person's childhood and they never got to stand up for themselves regarding that thing that happened, whether it's the father was abusive, the mother was abusive, the father was having affairs, the mother was having multiple men in her life, and the daughter fell out of control. In my wife's case, she was sexually abused as a child by her grandfather. And then when the family found out about it, they told her, okay, you need to forgive him. And they kept inviting that grandfather over to Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter and all the family dinners they'd have, you know, multiple times a year. So what does that tell her? That tells her, your feelings don't matter. We're not going to protect you. And now we're going to tell you in the name of God that you need to forgive.
Right.
Right? And so hence the internal conflict that she could never break through. Now, contrast that with me, Justin. I was sexually abused as a child. And once I got to an old enough age and I got in touch with those feelings of what happened to me, I came out swinging. And I was like, that will never happen again. Nobody will ever touch me, my children. Nobody will touch anybody else's children. I will devote my life to incarcerating and putting away anybody who touches a child, and hopefully rehabilitating them, and hopefully getting them in touch with what happened to them. So my wife and I, same issue, sexual, you know, being sexually abused, two different paths. I chose the path of coming out swinging. She chose the path of just bury it. And eventually that, you know, overtook her. And so that's really the powerful force for me that got me into this whole notion of understanding, because I'm working with cancer patients now. Excellent. I have a healing center on the farm. And the first thing I tell them, first thing I ask them is, what do you need to leave? Right? Because you're holding on to something that you need to leave. If you've got a job right now that's keeping you in that trap, you need to get out of that job. If you've got a mindset of somebody you think you need to protect, we need to stop protecting them. Right. But the question you got to answer is, what are you going to leave?
Wow, Jeff. Wow, that is something right there, my friend. And so you made a documentary as well regarding cancer. I think I mentioned it in the...
Cancer can be killed.
Yes. Now, did you document your wife's experience or journey?
I did. Okay. I did. And then I went ahead and documented 14 other people's journeys, including a dog that all recovered from cancer, treating it naturally. And, you know, in that film, it also, I had interviews with medical doctors that were saying that, you know, the Western medical system is the only way. And it's so obvious to the viewer in that film to be able to see, oh my God, these guys are spewing propaganda for money, right? It's just a whole, it's a money grab. This is a whole thing that works, and these people are doing great as a result of the treatment. So why, you know, when you see the film, you're like, oh my God, it's a breakthrough. Why are we listening to a healthcare system that is really just driven by money? That makes no sense at all.
Right. Interesting. Now, Jeff, I know you're a man of deep thought. And now when you think about what your wife experienced with battling cancer and what you've done with the documentary films and, you know, spreading truth to the world through your films and other outlets, how do you figure that comes together? You know, I don't want to phrase this question in a way to take away from what your wife experienced, right? But here you took this awful this challenge in your life, right? Both you and your wife. And you took that energy, maybe the pain that came from that energy, and recycled it into something high vibrating and positive, which now is used to help thousands across the world, right?
Right.
Have you thought through that, you know, as to the why? Because I think it's human nature for people to ask, well, why?
I mean, for me, you know, first of all, my father was a medical doctor. He was an anesthesiologist.
Okay.
My wife's father was a deacon in the church, you know, and we both had some scores to settle. All right. I had to settle a score with my father, who had sexually abused me and who had told me all my life that anybody who's not a medical doctor is a quack. And she had, my wife had to deal with a father who told her that if you so much as put a candy cigarette in your mouth, that's sinful to the point of where we need to wash your mouth out with soap.
Right.
So we both had scores to settle. And our scores, you know, they came together, which is, okay, God, show us how we're going to beat cancer. Show us the truth about how to beat this disease that nobody, that a lot of people aren't beating.
Right.
And we got the answers, you know. And when I say that, Justin, her death to me, you know, you could argue, well, she died, Jeff. You guys lost. And first of all, I know that nobody ever dies.
Right? Exactly.
So all we did was we learned from her physical death that the emotional issues underneath a person's cancer have to be dealt with, otherwise the disease is going to come back. And now we can use that to help the world. And hey, she's still here. Mm-hmm. She's still helping everybody go on that journey who wants to go on that journey. I just met a woman today with cancer, right? And we're working through it. So it's really a matter of we both had a score to settle.
Yeah.
And it's ongoing. And, you know, neither of us are going to feel content until we've taken this to the finish line.
Wow. Excellent. You know, stories like that, you know, it makes me think of Christ. You know, I used to be Christian. I was raised in I was one of those kids that went to church 4 or 5 times a week, right? My mom is, you know, this licensed evangelist and all that. And I broke away from Christianity, you know, probably about 3+ years ago. And I tell people all the time, you know, I feel closer to God now more than ever compared to when I was this church Christianity guy, right? And so therefore, you know, I love me some Jesus, man. You know, I don't necessarily believe that he is the savior like it's taught in Christianity. But yet and still, when you tell the story about your wife, and it makes me think of Christ having to be the sacrificial lamb, right? Mm-hmm. And when I tie that into your wife, she had to be the sacrifice in order to bring this goodness to the world, man. That's so good, man. That's so good.
And Justin, what I relate about what you just said is, for me, everything in the Bible is a metaphor.
Yes.
And 100% of it, I use every day. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't really care if somebody believes all the things they argue over. Right. Is this the inerrant word of God? Is Jesus, you know, who this they say this he that he is? I don't really care about any of that, because Jesus said, "Greater things will you do than me."
There you go.
Jesus said, "I will be inside you, working with you." I mean, it's a partnership. We're doing it. I don't really care about all those other tags that people throw on there. I'm with you 100% on that. It works. It just works.
It does. It flat out. It works. You said it, man. You said it. You know, Jeff, next I want to ask you about, you know, the government. You know, as I mentioned here in the intro, you know, you separated from the U.S. Government Corporation, you know, and obviously you're doing the regenerative farming and also your healing, your energy healing business, which is phenomenal. I want to learn about that as well. But when we talk about the government and we talk about children, let's talk a little bit about parental rights and how to stop the government and medical personnel from taking children, because this is something that I know was in the news, I don't know, a few years back, maybe several years ago. And it was kind of something I remember being surrounded by Hillary Clinton, something that maybe she wanted to do, you know, with the government's heads of states having control over the children. And I think about, you know, the state of our nation with what's being taught in schools. You know, I think about the state of our nation with what's going on in cities like Portland, Seattle, and even San Francisco. So what is it that is important for people to know when it comes to parents' rights and protecting their children, specifically medical and possibly one day the government trying to take our little ones?
Absolutely. And that's a really important bridge for every parent to cross, is what happens if my child gets sick, mm-hmm. and the medical doctors want to do something that I don't agree with. And as we've seen over the last few years, the medical doctors won't even let you into their building if you don't wear a mask. Mm-hmm. And then if they're going to do surgery, then they need to inoculate you with something they say you have to have that maybe you don't want to have.
Right.
So the first question becomes, wait a minute, I'm a parent. The child is mine, right? I gave birth to the child. I created the child. The parent is ours as the parents. What people don't realize is that we don't own rights to our children, the state does. Hmm. They have created a system that is not what's taught in schools. It is, by the way, the Constitution does not apply to any of us. We have no rights. We are minors. We are business entities. We are legal fictions. Mm-hmm. But in a court of law, we are not living men and women. Mm-hmm. And we are definitely not souls. What we are is just commerce. And whenever they have a court case, let's say there's a family court, let's say a doctor says your child needs to do 2 to 4 years of chemo. And you say, whoa, 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 I'm going to treat them holistically. And by the way, they're in remission from cancer. I'm not going to do 2 to 4 years of chemo. Right. And the hospital says, oh, fine, then we're going to call Child Protective Services and they're going to take your child from you. And, you know, parents find this out all over the country every day. And the, you know, first question parents have is, how is this even possible? Well, it's possible because family court is all about every time they get a case, they take a bond, they sell a bond. It's all about money. They're all making money. And it's a big system of making money. And so I made a film called Flipping the Script When Parents Fight Back. And these parents were under this dilemma. And they both had children with cancer. Both of them were in remission. Both of them had CPS at their door saying, we're going to take your child. One of the families in the middle of the night packed up and went to Mexico and treated their child holistically for 3 months, then came back in a different state in the United States of America, and everything was clear. They were fine. They're living a beautiful life to this day. Child is cancer-free.
Nice.
Did not get mauled by the 2 to 4 years of chemo they were telling her they had to do. Okay. Now, the other family was fascinating because they met CPS at the door, and they handed them a legal document and said, if you want me to risk my child with 2 to 4 years of chemo, you're going to need to sign this legal document saying you will take on all the liability for whatever happens to my child financially. And on top of the financial damage that's done, there's going to be a tort claim. And that tort claim is going to start at $2 million and go up to $40 million for anything that happens to them. Well, what do you think CPS did? Because it's all about money, right? They backed off and they go, what was it you wanted to do? And they said, we want to treat our child holistically. We want a team of doctors. We're going to use the hospital, but we're also going to use a chiropractor. We're going to use IV nutrients, IV vitamin C. We're going to have a chiropractor. So they were able to do that successfully, and CPS ran away. The doctors were furious. But see, by making that film, Flipping the Script, we fought back and won. Now, since that time, they've become even more sophisticated, and we've had to double down in figuring, how do you get title to your child, title to where now you own the rights to the child?
Right.
And that was the process I went on personally so that I could instruct parents to go on that process. And it's called becoming a secured party creditor. The way the government views us, they view us as debtors, as minors. And when what happened for all of us, Justin, is they took our birth certificate and they sold it over in England on the bond market for our future productivity.
Right.
And that bond, that account is worth about $150 million now, by the way. And that's what is funding the United States to keep going. All that money, that's where the money that funds the United States. And so what you can do is you can say, you know what? I didn't authorize you to take my birth certificate and sell it over in England. I'm taking control of that now. I'm now owner of this business entity, this all caps name that you have sold. And I'm going to file a UCC, Universal Commercial Code, Uniform Commercial Code, financial document saying that I'm putting up a bond to now take control of that ownership of that bond. I now own that account, that $150 million account, and I own the rights to myself and my child and my family. Once you have that, there is nothing they can do. They can't take your children. You're out of their jurisdiction. And as an adult, Justin, if a police officer pulls you over and wants to give you a ticket for speeding or thinks you ran a red light or a stop sign or whatever, all you do is, if you're a secured party creditor, you pull out that UCC document, show it to them, and the policeman says, okay, you're out of my jurisdiction. Go on your way.
Wow. So they're obviously aware of it, huh? Your average street cop. They are.
And if they're not aware of it and they write you a ticket anyway, you can file a tort claim against them. And I know a gentleman in Mississippi who got $750,000 for that tort claim for that ticket that was issued to him because that was a violation of his constitutional rights.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. And by the way, I on this land that I own, free and clear, went to go to the county recorder to file a land patent which is allodial title, which is, again, gives me title to this land.
Okay.
The state right now gives you a deed when you buy a property.
Right.
You don't have title, you have a deed. It's not the same thing.
Okay.
But if you have title to a land, they can't tell you what you can or can't do on that land.
Mm.
So I went to the county recorder and I filed my land patent, and they said, oh, we're not going to do it because it's illegal. And I said, but it's in the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo that anybody, it's the Homestead Act, anybody can homestead and file for a land patent and get it recorded. So they denied me, so I sued them. Mm. So that lawsuit went to federal court, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, because they dismissed it, and it's now in the Supreme Court.
Wow.
And if the Supreme Court rules in my favor, which they should, because, again, this is treaty law, the state of California is going to owe me $2 million for a tort claim.
Nice.
And that $2 million is because they violated my constitutional rights,
right,
because
yeah.
I'm a secured party creditor. If I was just a, you know, regular guy off the streets, I'd be a minor with no rights, a business entity. I wouldn't be entitled to anything.
Mm.
So that's the power of flipping the whole script on the federal government, which has lied to us, which has created a slave system, which is really just about at the end of its rope. And there's so many of us doing this right now, exposing this fraud. It's just a matter of time before this thing busts wide open.
Yeah, I love how you broke that down, Jeff. And I, you know, tell you what, they don't teach you that in school, that's for sure. And then when you win that lawsuit that's in the Supreme Court, let's see how much news coverage that gets, right? Try to keep that on the hush, man. But thank God you do what you do, where you'll be able to bring it to the masses. That's excellent, my friend. Excellent. It's almost as if they want to go against natural order, natural law. You know,
exactly.
That's what it seems. And we're living in a crazy time. That's for sure.
Well, and Justin, you and I have inalienable rights from God. Okay. So they're trying to tell us we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to tell them, no, not only do we have them, but we're going to show them to you and we're going to force you to back down.
That's right. That's right. Wow. And so what's the name of that movie? Because I know my audience, so they're going to want to look that up. Can you tell us the name again?
Yeah. Flipping the Script is the film about challenging the system and winning. And then parents, I have a website, jwfilms.org, where all my films are. And parents can contact me at any time and ask for help. And that's basically what I do full time right now. I just help people navigate the system and get their power back.
Excellent. Excellent. It's good work, Jeff. Good work. You know, I wanted to ask you on your thoughts regarding what may lie ahead for our country in 2024. I mean, obviously it's an election year. Would love to get your thoughts on that. And, you know, I guess they're always playing the fear factor, right? You got to watch out for this, watch out for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, immigration is a huge issue these days. I mean, it's been an issue for a long time, but it seems like it's out of control, you know, what's going on at the borders, et cetera. So what do you see? How do you see 24 playing out, my friend?
Yeah, it's interesting because last fall, Justin, I was terrified of a couple things they were telling us were going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they said that the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization were going to have every nation on earth sign a treaty saying that everybody would do whatever they told them whenever there was a quote-unquote pandemic.
I remember that, yes.
And I was terrified of that. Then the second thing they said is that banks are moving to something called central bank digital currency,
mm-hmm.
where once they have set that up and it's in place, they can completely control every individual by telling them what they can or can't do with their time, their money. Everything could be censored. Like if your credit score is such that you don't have a good credit score, then you're not going to be able to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you do something out of line, then they're going to take away this right or privilege. So that was what we were being told. Well, guess what, Justin? That didn't happen. First of all, every country pulled out of the World Health Organization. Central bank digital currencies never came into effect. In fact, the opposite happened, where a lot of the nations joined with Putin with something called BRICS.
Right, right.
And they all decided to go to asset-backed currency, mm-hmm. with each nation having its own sovereignty. No global, mm-hmm. no globalist agenda. And I had been hearing rumors for quite a while that there was an underground military, a white hat military, that was a group of people in the know, not just from the United States, but from Russia and from numerous sources, mm-hmm. where they were like, okay, we can do this. And here's how we do it. First of all, we know that there's basically 10 or 13 families that are controlling the world.
Right.
So the first thing we do to them is tell them time's up, and we take away their power. And how did they get their power? They were doing underground military bases. They had a pedophile network, and they controlled Hollywood. And, you know, people don't want to hear about the underground pedophile network and how vast it is.
Oh, man.
But when you take away that pedophile network, you take away their ability to blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
When you tell the Rothschilds the credit banking system is over, you don't get to do the credit banking system. From now on, every bank has to have an asset to back up all the money they're loaning. Now they can't print money willy-nilly whenever they want to. Mm-hmm. So if you take away their power to print money, you take away their power to blackmail, they've got nothing left. And so what we're seeing is this transition to where banks are about to go belly up, and there's going to be a run on the banks, and we are going to make the move to an asset-backed currency.
Wow.
And it's going to be painful.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, get your money into silver or gold,
right.
or have your cash on hand.
Right.
But the banks are no longer safe. I have my little money I have spread out in three or four different banks.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, you know, the short answer to your question is there's going to be some pain,
yeah.
over the next 6 to 10 months, maybe. But after that, we are going to bring heaven on earth. We're going to move the country back to being a republic.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get real law in place, which is common law, not fraudulent maritime law.
Mm.
And it's going to be for the people and by the people. And that whole system that is basically kabuki theater that they call Washington, D.C.,
right.
that whole entity is going to be dissolved.
Wow.
And they are not going to be able to do what they do anymore. So I just see good stuff happening in the future. But in the short term, yeah, we got all these illegal immigrants over here. It's going to be a shit show in the near future. And I don't know how that's going to get resolved, but we're going to resolve it.
Wow. That's awesome, man. I mean, I love the fact that you pointed out there's going to be pain, but then you said that there are brighter days on the other side of that. A lot of times people just solely focus on the bad, the chaos, the confusion. But the fact that you said, hey, let's not totally focus on that. We'll experience some of that. But on the flip side, there's brighter days ahead. That's awesome. Now, in regards to the presidential election, how do you think that's going to play out? I, for one, you know, you got this Biden thing, you got this Trump thing. You know, as far as I'm concerned, they're in bed together. They're all part of the same cabal. You know, there's no difference, man. I mean, you know, so when you talk about, you know, this new America, the Republic, like, do you feel there's going to be a specific leader, or how would that work?
Yeah, I think it's going to evolve.
Okay.
And so in the short term, Biden's going to be removed from office. And I think we're going to move into a martial law situation just
Ooh.
To keep everything stable.
Okay.
And it's not going to be a bad, you know, like Russia in the 60s martial law. It's going to be like a benevolent martial law.
Okay.
And then I think we'll have an election. And my experience is that Trump has been portrayed a certain way, and that he's actually being either supported by or in agreement with this white hat military group that wants to overthrow the cabal.
Okay. Okay.
So as a human being, you know, I don't trust Trump. I don't trust any of these leaders who have misled us in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to give Trump a chance only because he's not going to be the guy in power. He's going to be the guy doing what the guys in power tell him to do.
Okay.
The white hat military people who have already been successful in overthrowing the Rothschilds, the crown, the Vatican. And all of those people, their power is all dissolved. You can see it in the last year. And so I feel like, okay, Trump is a good interim guy. Mm-hmm. He's the interim guy that's going to do what they tell him to do. Then from that point, then it's game on. And okay. When I say game on, it's like, okay, anybody who's now speaking to us, you're going to be honest with us, because if you're not, we're going to expose you. Because we're vibrating at such a high level right now that we can ask the questions that haven't been asked before. Mm-hmm. Like, who are your associations? Where do you get your money from? What's their agenda? What's your agenda? By the way, tell us a little bit about your own personal life and what you're trying to recover from and where you're headed. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get to have all the secrecy that you've had in the past. That's what you've hidden behind.
Yeah.
And you can see it now on Twitter. You can see the number of people coming out and saying, hey, so-and-so, Foster Colson from the wellness company that's supposed to be about holistic medicine, can you show us your associations? Can you show us where you're getting your money from? Can you show us your history? And now you're the one that's telling us that you're supposedly an alternative to the medical system when you're actually just another face of the same system?
Wow.
So, you know, that's where we're headed. So after Trump, it's like, man, it's game on, because whoever is going to lead after that, they better be the real deal, because we're not going to let them get away with any crap anymore.
Wow. Foster Colson, that name sounds so familiar. I read about that guy or something, or saw him on TV somewhere. The wellness company.
Yeah, man. They are scary, because what the deep state wants is they want both sides of the playing field. They want the holistic side and they want the allopathic Western medical side. They want to play both sides and they want to control the narrative. Mm. And the narrative is, you're a dumb animal. We know better than you. And listen to this expert.
Wow.
Right? Because the truth is, we're divine beings.
That's right.
Right. We are connected to God.
Yes.
And all we need is to listen to our internal voice. And that internal voice, we ain't no dumb animal.
Right.
We are the kings and queens of heaven. and now we're here on earth, and we don't need anybody to tell us what to do. We need to be led into how do we get further in touch with ourselves? How do we get rid of all the crap that has distracted us? Mm-hmm. That's all we need.
Yeah.
So they're not going to let you in that world. They want to own the world of, like, you're a dumb animal, and we tell you what to do.
Exactly. Exactly. So well said, my friend. So well said. Very cool. You know, I want to talk a little bit about your energy healing business, man. This fascinates me right here. How long have you been doing that? And tell me, you know, some of the things that you do and what goes into that.
Right. So for 9 months now, I've had what's called an energy enhancement system. And what it is scalar waves. It's a pure healing energy. And you sit in a room. You recline in a chair. I tend to fall asleep because the energy is so great that it just puts me to sleep. And what that frequency does, because Nikola Tesla said the future of medicine is going to be energy and frequencies. Mm-hmm. And they have hidden from us the power of frequencies to fine-tune the body, to heal the body, to electrify it. We're electrical beings, and these frequencies give us an energy and a voltage that then our cells do the work that it needs to do. If there's any toxins, it gets rid of toxins. If it needs to repair something, it repairs something. And what I'm seeing in my healing center is cancers disappearing. Visibly, you can see skin cancer disappearing.
Wow.
Physically, people with prostate cancer and breast cancer get their scans before and after, and the cancer goes away. People that lost feeling in their toes, or lost their smell, or lost feeling in their arm, they're getting feeling back in their toes and their arms, getting their smell back. A woman came in with a vaccine injury of migraine headaches constantly. She comes into the healing center, 2 hours, no more migraine headaches. Now, 2 or 3 weeks later, she starts getting the migraines again, and she needs to come back in the system and get some more time. And by the way, 2 hours in the system, $120. How great is that? And then you take a you take a detox salt bath afterwards with sea salt, borax, and baking soda, and that pulls all the toxins out. And so now if you have inflammation, like you have a sore knee or a sore shoulder, gone. That inflammation's gone. Your knees and your shoulders are working like a kid again. And so there was a theory that if you use frequencies, you have to have a kill energy and a heal energy. But we're finding out now all you need is the pure healing energy that gets the cells to do what they do best, and that heals the body. The body heals itself. It just needs to be given the right energy to do it. So that's where we start. We start in that room with the healing. Where we go from there is if people have emotional issues that they're blocked on that they can't get free of, then we do the counseling. Wow. We do the counseling sessions to find out what's that unresolved conflict in their life that they have never stood up for themselves on. We got to find out what it is they really want in life that's taking them off course and get them back onto the course to standing up for themselves. That's the second part of the healing journey is the emotional work. So we start with the physical, we go to the emotional, we try to cover all the bases.
I love how you said that second part, helping people discover those hidden traumas and overcome them and go through the process of healing. And, you know, when I was meditating recently, I think this was over the weekend, maybe Friday or Saturday, and it came to me that because, you know, I have young children and, you know, we talk about purpose, right? Our purpose in the world and finding our purpose and have all these interesting conversations. And it came to me, spirits told me to share with them that, you know, for people that are looking to find their purpose, the first thing they must do is to go within and heal themselves. That once a person goes through that process of the healing and dealing with the different traumas, then the universe brings a purpose to them. People come into their lives. Opportunities will appear. What are your thoughts on that?
Man, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, my understanding of the families we grow up in, it's just for us to learn the lessons we need to learn so then we can go out in the world and give from a place of learning, from a place of understanding.
Exactly.
So, you know, for these people that think that their purpose doesn't have anything to do with what they grew up with, I would say, no, that's the central theme.
Mm-hmm.
You resolve that, you now have something that nobody else has.
Right.
You have a unique gift that nobody in the world has, and you can bring that out there. And guess what? People are going to be attracted to that, and they're going to say, I want to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to find my own, you know, purpose that's connected to what I grew up with. And I mean, you can even, Justin, get into this whole idea that were we spirit beings before we came to this earth? And did we choose our families that we chose specifically to learn what we needed to learn? I mean, it's all working out for me beautifully. So I would have to say, you know, all the pain has been worth it. Because the blessings are there now, and I'm sharing the blessings with others.
You got it, Jeff. You got it. And yeah, I totally believe that. I totally believe that we were spiritual beings. When you think about God, universe, source, whatever we want to call it, this wonderful divine energy that's based in love, right? It's been here, I mean, literally forever, infinite, right? But I think because we are one with the Father, that we have been around forever as well. And I think at times we may get asked to come here to fulfill certain missions, but at the same time, we get to create our reality before we arrive. And when we get here, we can switch things up because we are the authors, the creators of our reality, right? And then I was having a conversation with someone about deja vu one time, you know, and then, you know, you say, wow, I've seen this before. I've been here before. I've had this conversation with this person before. I truly believe that is you recalling what you created. In the universe before you arrive. So you're having this connection maybe with your higher self, or you're just having this recollection, this recall of what you created. Say, yeah, I remember. It's basically saying, yeah, I remember creating this, you know?
Nice.
But yeah, man, that is interesting. And just like you said, you know, I experienced a lot of trauma when I was a kid. My father was this he's an alcoholic. He was Marine, very high ego. So, you know, we talk about abuse, man, you know, starting at as early as 2-3 years old, physical and psychological abuse, you know, very, very, very challenging. But I tell people I wouldn't change it for the world, man. I wouldn't change anything I went through. And people always say, I'm sorry you experienced that, when I get into detail. I said, no, don't feel sorry. Look who I am today. Look what I'm doing today. You know, I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for what I went through, what I experienced. So
Is your father still alive?
No. He passed in 2007. Actually, February 21st, 2007. Yeah.
And what has that been like for you since he passed? Has your relationship with him changed at all? Have you communicated with them on the other side?
I've had dreams.
What's that like?
Yeah, I've had dreams. So the thing about my father, man, you know, he was this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde guy, right? He was the nicest guy you want to meet, literally give you the shirt off his back. He was well-respected in the community and on his job. And, you know, people loved him. But, you know, being an alcoholic, man, he would hit that bottle and he turned into this monster. And he was very unpredictable. Mm-hmm. You know, I recall being in elementary and middle school and hearing him pull up. He worked afternoons at General Motors from Detroit, right? Big Three. And he'd pull up, man, summertime. I'm up at 10, 11 o'clock at night. I hear his car pulling up. My heart's just racing. I'm scared. I didn't know what to expect. Was he going to be that cool dad, or was he going to be this monster? You know, nine times 10, he was a monster because he would hit that bottle as soon as he got off. But, you know, it was a very interesting relationship, you know, because he was like, when I was in high school, he wasn't around, right? He wasn't around when I was in high school. And that was a very vital time in my life because I was going from being a boy into a man, that transition, right? And so I needed that guidance, that direction. Even though he taught me a lot of good stuff and he taught me how to love, as odd as that may seem, but he wasn't there to give me what I needed in regards to a male support system. Yep. And so my mother told him, like, after high school, he's like, you know, you weren't there for your kids when they needed you the most. And so that really hit home for him. And then so he then worked on having this relationship with my brother and I after high school. Wow. Right. So so then he was coming around. He was, you know, giving us wisdom and spending time with us, doing all these things. And then he got sick, you know, several years later. And, you know, he had a heart problem and he had cancer. And then he wound up having this accident where, because he was so weak from the cancer, he tried to get up, go to the restroom. He hit his head and had brain damage. But before that happened, you know, he
Justin, did. Justin, guess what?
What?
Same thing happened to my father.
Oh,
he hit his head.
Wow.
And he had internal bleeding.
Yes, same thing.
And that's what killed him.
Yep, same thing.
Unreal, dude.
My dad was actually, so he had that accident. He was actually in like a vegetative state.
Yes, my father too.
Yeah, for a while before he just he passed on. But he did tell me, Jeff, he did tell me before the accident, he knew it was end of life because he was already weak again, you know, and he apologized, man. He said, you know what? I was way too hard on you and your brother. I really was.
Amazing.
Please forgive me. In fact, he went on this apology tour. Everyone that he felt he did wrong throughout his life, he called them up his father, right? Hadn't spoken to him in 30, 35 years. They got into this big argument back in the 70s, and his father wound up cutting my dad's arm. They fell out. He went and found his father and developed a relationship with him. So, you know, I love my dad, man. He put me through a lot of shit, but I love him. You know, I do love him. And sometimes I notice I have a tendency to maybe speak down on him a bit, you know, but that's just me still, I think, processing some of my feelings. But I would think over the last quarter of 23 last year, I've gained even more peace regarding him. And it's not a day that goes by where I don't think about him. And I thank God for him, because even though he could be this monster of a man, he instilled a lot of great values in me as well. So
that's great to hear.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because I feel the same way with my dad. I love him. I feel like I've communicated with him since he passed.
Yes.
And also he's told me how much he loves me. And I've seen that in a dream state.
Yeah.
And so it's beautiful that you were able to make that circle come full circle, and for me too. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And yeah, I communicated with my father in dream state, and I've never shared this on my show before, but I had this dream when I lived in San Diego. This probably had to be 2014, 2015. And the great thing is, the crazy thing is that before I laid down in bed at night, I got on my knees and prayed to God, and I asked God for a supernatural experience. That's what I asked for. So I had this dream where I was in my childhood home, you know, and then I see this bubble. Think about when a kid blows a bubble, like a transparent bubble, just like that, probably the size of one of those huge workout balls, right, that you see in the gym. And it comes floating in through the wall into the house, and it stops in front of me, and then my father appears. It transforms into my father.
Wow.
And he had on this outfit that he used to wear, like, when I was a kid. And then he said, "Son, I love you."
Wow.
And then he pulls this paper open, right? He has this newspaper. And it was me on the front of the paper. And it said, "Local man wins." And what he told me, he said, "Talk to the father about this." And to this day, Jeff, I've been trying to figure out what he meant by that.
Wow.
I don't know. This has been on my heart for years. What does that mean?
Nice.
Local man wins.
Nice.
He said, "Talk to the father about this." I don't know, but yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. It's something else, man. But anyway, I just wanted to share that.
That's so cool. Yeah, no, that's so cool, and I do think that that's available to all of us, mm-hmm. you know, to rework that relationship, because nobody dies and everything's timeless, and we can always communicate. And if it's in a dream state, it's in a dream state. But where there's a will, there's a way. And I've been able to make peace with and communicate with both my wife who passed and my father who passed.
Wonderful, so, brother. That's wonderful. Yeah. Good for you, man. But hey, Jeff, this has been a phenomenal conversation, man. I have genuinely enjoyed my time speaking with you today. If you could please just take a minute or so to tell the good people where they can find you, your websites, and maybe some of the services you offer. Obviously, you talked about the energy healing. If there's anything else, if you have any social media, et cetera.
Yeah, I do. I write an article on Substack every week, and it's under my name, Jeff Weitzman. And that's where I post most of the stuff that I'm seeing that God's showing me that's going on the planet right now, and the healing that's happening. And then my website is jwfilms.org, and that's where all my films are, and that's where the Bitchin' Farm Healing Center that we have is listed. And if people live in Southern California or are traveling here, they can come and visit, and they can see the farm out here. And it's basically, I'm on social media, other places too, but those are the main ones, and people can contact me anytime if there's anything we talked about that they need to hear more about.
Very good. And I just want to thank you as well for being so open and being vulnerable, you know, in this conversation this evening. Thank you very much. That's awesome. I almost forgot one last question for you, Jeff. This is something I ask each and every guest that appears on the show. Okay, I would like for you to leave the audience with what I like to call a token of love. You said so many wonderful things this evening, but one last thing, maybe something that comes to heart, it can be anything, that you feel the audience needs to know as they continue their journeys. What would that be?
I'll tell you, it's that standing up for oneself is the pathway to God.
Mm. Perfect. Standing up for oneself is the pathway to God. Excellent, my friend. Jeff, thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. And to the audience, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Hidden Gateway Podcast. As always, stay connected with us at thehiddengateway.com. If you would like to speak to us, shoot us an email at support@thehiddengateway.com. And thank you for pushing your mindset towards a better reality. Now, this will conclude this week's episode. Until next time, stay positive, stay questioning, be love, and be free. The Hidden Gateway, out.